We're going to pick up right where we left off in Jeremiah, and this may be pieces of the familiar stuff from Jeremiah for you. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Friends, the word of God. Be to God. I'm not sure how we would say that this is good news if we were one of the elders sitting in Babylon. Right? I mean, we co-opt that second part of the reading, verses 11, 12, and 13. I know the plans I have for you. We co-opt that and kind of turn it into a wonderful Hallmarky sentiment. But that's kind of taking it out of context, isn't it? I mean, that's ripping it out of, by the way, go there, live there, have kids, marry your kids off, plant gardens, build houses, and in 70 years we'll talk. By the way, I know the plans I have for you. Right? It's just not quite the same as the schmaltzy way we often read that and print it. But I think there's an important message for the church today. I have rarely, if ever, been around a church that didn't think if they just had more people, youth,
money.
Kids,
talent,
bigger building.
Faith.
What?
Faith.
Gymnasium, better address, better preacher, you know, you name it. Right? You name it, we can come up with it. Volunteers, a pipe organ, you know, you name it, we can come up with the things. That if just those things would change, we could be more faithful or better at being faithful or something like that. There's this challenge from God in this lesson, though, that says, bloom where you're planted. I sent you to Babylon. Figure it out, people. I exiled you to Babylon, says the Lord. So buy a house and plant a garden because you're going to be here a while. Yeah, and I imagine that's exactly the sound they made. Exactly. Seriously, Lord? Marry your kids off. Marry your sons, marry your daughters. Do all that stuff. And then there's the line that we overlook while we're talking about that, and then we're talking about the plans God has for us. Seek the welfare of the city. Man, that's a loaded statement. That is a loaded statement. Because seeking the welfare of the city implies we want it to get better, right? And if it's going to get better, what's going to happen? What?
We'll stay.
We might want to stay. The other thing is it's a nasty little curse word we use at church. It's six letters. It starts with the letter CH. Change. Right? Also, what do you have to do to look after the welfare of the place where you're at? You got to contribute. You got to pay attention enough to know what needs to be done. You have to become invested. Right? So suddenly, Babylon can't be this wonderful summer home place that we just go for 70 years at a time when the Lord gets mad at us. oh no, this has to be our town. So here's the question. What does it look like to look after the welfare of a city? Let's just pick this one. Approximately 17,900 people. That's what the green sign when you come into town on 37 says. Three interstate exits. And it's really impressive. If you drive into town after dark, it looks like there's something really happening here. And then you cross past exit 53, and whoosh, it's all gone. What does it look mean? What does it look like to look after the welfare of this city? Right now, a city in which our Ministerial Alliance Soup Kitchen serves multiple thousands of meals every month. We have no fewer than 5 food pantries in this town. 52% of all public school kids nationwide are on free or reduced lunch, and at schools inside this district, it goes as high as 74%. And if you get down to Cairo, it goes as high as 98%. But you gotta live here to really care about that. I mean, if I'm just coming in and going to my palatial estate on Lake of Egypt for 2 weeks out of the year, you guys know I have a palatial estate on Lake of Egypt, right? We call it Hotel Sea Lock. Do I care if I'm only here 2 weeks out of the year? Do I care? Right? I care when the roads are torn up and it's hard to get to my palatial estate. Part of what God is telling the people then and telling us now is get used to being where you are. Because you have to land somewhere. This is the place you've been sent to. How are you going to make it a place where you can plant a garden and buy a house and marry kids off and get ready for 70 years? I mean, planning for 70 years, I can't even wrap my head around that. I mean, I'll be 111, and if I follow Vivian's health plan, I think I've got a chance of making it. How do we, the church, look after the welfare of the city? We do it already in some ways, right? Soup kitchen, food pantry, Habitat for Humanity, Lighthouse Shelter, right? And those are things we do as the church together. And if I asked all of you, there's more things, right? We do more things. We pay taxes. Always with a smile on our face, right? We vote. We volunteer. We don't let hard conversations not happen. All of those things add up to how we look after the welfare of the city. The funniest thing about cities is that there's always the city, and then there's the thing right outside it. Right? I mean, you've got St. Louis, and you've got East St. Louis. And they're not the same thing, are they? And so we have the city of Marion, and then we have the folks just outside the city limits in Williamson County, And it's not quite the same, is it? And then, I mean, if we go all the way down to Creole Springs, it's definitely not the same, is it? So how do we look after the welfare of the city? And what's our definition of the city? Is it just the city limits? Is it the criteria we have to use to get a library card for nothing at the Marion Carnegie Library that you're on? That wonderful Marion water. That seems like a mixed blessing, doesn't it? Library Marion water. What's our criteria? What makes us us? We're First Presbyterian Church of Marion, Illinois. We have members who live in West Frankfort. We have members who live in Johnson County. We have members who live in Heron. We have members who live in Carbondale. What city are we looking after? Right? Going south, you don't hit another Presbyterian church until Metropolis. Swing a little bit over west, you hit Cobden. What city's welfare are we looking after, and how do we do it? Now, we're going to kick it up another out because I'm going to get money involved. I have a $125 check from the presbytery in my office to us. If we could do anything to look after the welfare of the city with $125, whether it's to start a project or finish a project or do something else, what do we need to be doing with that? Bob?
You need to get it to families, because families make up the church.
Okay. So we start small and hope it trickles upward, that it works upward, right? Right? So we got about 40 families in the church. I can give you each $3. That's two sodas at the vending machine at Heartland Hospital. Just put that in context. Or it's about half of a coffee at Starbucks. Right? Context matters. That is the question I want to leave you with at the end of this liturgical year as we head into Advent, as we get ready to change everything to blue and bring out the Christmas tree and the chrismons and the garland and the new decorations. This is where we are. This is where we are both called to be and sent to be. How will we look to the welfare of the city? Because we're going to be here for a while. It's been 110 years. It's been here for 55 years. How will we look to the welfare of the city? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.